If we can turn to page 828 in the hymnal, we'll do a responsive reading, the Psalm 105, verses 1 through 11. O give thanks to the Lord, call on God's name, make known God's deeds among the peoples. Sing to the Lord, sing praises, tell of all God's wonderful works, glory in God's holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
Seek the Lord
in strength. Seek the Lord's presence continually. Remember the wonderful works God has done, the miracles and judgment God has ordered. O offspring of Abraham, God's servant, children of Jacob, God's chosen ones. The Lord is our God, whose judgments are in all the earth. The Lord is mindful of his everlasting covenant, of the word commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant made with Abraham, his promise sworn to Isaac, and confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance.
As we've been doing for so many weeks, again this week we go back to some of the famous and hopefully familiar stories of the Hebrew Bible from the Old Testament. This one probably is one that you learned as a little kid. Scripture uses different words in describing Joseph's coat. Sometimes it's a coat of many colors, sometimes it's a long robe with sleeves. In any event, it stuck out. It was a special coat. And he was a special guy. So let us turn to Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 through 4, and following with verses 12 through 28. You can follow along, and I always encourage you to do that. If you grab the Pew Bible in front of you, it's on page 32 in the Hebrew Bible. Let us hear these words. Jacob settled in the land where his father had lived as an alien, the land of Canaan. This is the story of the family of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was shepherding the flock with his brothers. He was a helper to the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a long robe with sleeves, that coat of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now his brothers went to pasture their father's flocks near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers pasturing the flock at Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." He answered, "Here I am." So he said, "Go now, see if it is well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring back word to me." So he sent him from the valley of Hebron. He came to Shechem, and a man found him wandering in the fields. The man asked him, "What are you seeking?" "I am seeking my brothers," he said. "Tell me, please, where they are pasturing the flock." The man said, "They've gone away, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. They saw him from a distance, and before he came near to them, they conspired to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. And we shall say that a wild animal has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." But when Reuben heard it, he delivered him out of their hands, saying, "Let us not take his life." Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in that wilderness, but lay no hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand and restore him to his father." So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the long robe with sleeves, that coat of many colors that he wore. And they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat, and looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels carrying gum, balm, and resin on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him, for he is our brother, our own flesh. And his brothers agreed. When some Midianite traders passed by, they drew Joseph up, lifting him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle reading for this morning is taken once again from Romans 10. I will read from verse 5 until the 15th verse. And those who want to follow on, it's on page 149 of New Testament, New Pew Bible. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that Christ raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. The word of God to the people of God. Amen.
Let us turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Matthew 14, 22 through 33. It's a great time of year because we move right through these stories. So let me remind you that last week, after Jesus had heard about the death of John the Baptist, Bill Mitchell took us through the time when Jesus fed the 5,000 folks with five loaves and two fish. And once again, Jesus is trying to get away to have some of that nourishing spiritual time to pray. And he is somewhat successful in this reading. So page 15 is where you'll find the New Testament version of Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33. Immediately after feeding all those folks, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This morning, I'm hoping that you'll indulge me that together we might consider this amazing story from the Gospel of Matthew. In my mind, this is the story of the frightening wind. I have a special fondness for this story because I believe that it's a wonderful metaphor for our own individual faith stories, but also it's a metaphor, I believe, for our current collective situation in the Christian church. Think about the predicament confronting these 12 guys, these 12 apostles, the disciples. Jesus went up the mountain to pray, and he sent them ahead in a boat alone to cross the sea. Late that night, when the boat was far from land, a storm kicked up, as it often did. The waves were battering their small craft because, as Scripture tells us, the wind was against them. The wind was their enemy. But Jesus showed up, walking across the waves, and his followers were terrified, trying to understand if they were hallucinating or if this was a demon that had appeared to harass them. Jesus tried to comfort them and said, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid, as Jesus so many times told them. It's fascinating to note that the words that Jesus used are the same words that God Almighty used to name God's self in saying, it is I. There should have been no doubt in their minds, but there was. Peter was not fully convinced, but he was willing to take a big risk. Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus responded with that simple command, come. Now, I don't completely understand what got into Peter, but he decided that it would be a smart idea to leave a perfectly good boat and walk across the water to his teacher, Jesus. I envision that Peter locked eyes with Jesus and stepped out of that boat in that grand leap of faith. His focus was strong, and he walked successfully across the waves, just as Jesus had done. But then Peter became distracted by the wind. He noticed how strongly it was whipping across his face, and he heard its banshee howl. And Peter got really scared. He began to sink into the water, so he screamed out in anguish, Lord, save me! And it's that very moment, that's depicted on your bulletin cover. That's what was going on. But not surprisingly, as you can see by Jesus' hands, Jesus was right there, almost in front of him. And so Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, You of little faith, why did you doubt? You were doing so well. So Jesus escorted Peter back to his fellow disciples, who I envision were probably cowering there in the boat. When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped Jesus, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. So does this story resonate with you? It certainly does with me. This story seems to be a perfect metaphor for my own faith story. Let me explain. I can kind of see myself as Peter. Even in the scariest situations that arise, I try to look for Jesus. When danger is all around and the outlook is bleak, I try to remain true to my faith. The deep, dark water that surrounds my boat contains all of those things that frighten and concern me in this world. Imagine yourself on that boat. What is there in the deep dark around you? For me, it's my family's safety and their well-being. I think about my own physical and mental health. I think about the future of our church, the plight of Christianity in the world, the endless stories of war and poverty and violence and helplessness and hopelessness in this world. Swirling around me, the perilous state of our planet Earth, to name a few of my demons. But I wonder what's out there for you. The water is horribly deep, and the waves are perilously high and rolling. Where are you, Lord? I look through all that storminess, and there in the murk, there is Jesus right in front of me. Jesus is right there with me, as he always is. And just knowing that Jesus is there makes me much braver than I have any right or reason to be. And in that perceived strength, I'm willing to take a risk and do things I never thought possible. Things that might not even seem reasonable. But because Jesus is calling, I step out of that boat of safety and comfort, and I keep trying to emulate Jesus. Walk on the water, no problem. But as I walk forward in faith, invariably I notice the wind. Just like what happened to Peter, I can feel how strongly that wind is whipping across my face. I can hear its banshee howl. This frightening wind, you see, is fear itself. I begin to sink and I call out to Jesus. He's right there. And he reaches out his hand to catch me and he says, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When I know that once more everything's going to be all right, my fear subsides and the wind stops. In reality, I do not have the same strength of faith that Peter had. In reality, I do not always have the courage to step out of the boat and walk on the water. But I wish I did. And I always try to answer Jesus' call. In reality, Jesus is always there to save me. And in reality, the wind always does stop. You of little faith, why did you doubt? Well, Lord, I'm only human. I wonder, though, if this story is not also a good metaphor for our current situation in the Christian church in general, and maybe also for Burns Memorial UMC in particular. I wonder if the metaphor holds true. What do you think? Doesn't it feel like our church is surrounded by a deep, dark sea? And that we are in the midst of a perplexing and seemingly endless storm in this 21st century world? Maybe my list of deep water demons is not so very different from the scary elements facing all of us together. The safety and well-being of our congregation members. The physical and mental and spiritual health of God's people. The future of our church. The plight of Christianity. The endless stories of war and poverty and violence and helplessness and hopelessness in our world. The perilous state of our planet Earth. Does the boat of Christianity feel tiny? Are we crashing against the waves of the world? I believe firmly that Jesus is calling us collectively to muster our faith and to step out of the safety and comfort of the boat of the church. His command is simple and direct. Come. Jesus is calling us to walk with Him beyond the walls of this sanctuary, into the waves and the storm that is raging all around us. We are to go where Jesus goes, to discover what it is that God is up to in this world. Jesus is calling us into our neighborhoods and into our communities. Jesus is calling us to try things we have never done, to risk, to experiment, even to fail, but always to learn. Jesus is calling us as the body of Christ to step out of the boat of the church and to walk on the waves of the world. I want you to think once again about the story of the 12 disciples in their little boat in the storm. At first, the storm came up because the wind was against them. When Peter had the courage to step out of the boat, it was that same wind that distracted him and challenged his faith. But once Peter was safe with Jesus, the wind stopped. This frightening wind you see is fear itself. You of little faith, why did you doubt? Well, Lord, we're only human. My sisters and brothers, if we stick together to bolster and to strengthen our faith, we can keep our eyes on Jesus despite the storm, despite the waves, despite the wind of our fear. Walk on the water? You bet. Our Lord does. And so then, can we? Amen.